Rich Peterson here. Some special guests in the studio. Steve Borkart, the Rochester Area Foundation, and Paul Harkus, also of the Rochester Area Foundation. Steve and Paul, thanks for coming in.
It's always a pleasure to be here. We love coming in once a month to tell folks how they can more effectively donate their money to our area charities, including us.
Yeah, the Rochester Area Foundation, which, again, for those that aren't aware what the RAF is, it's not the Royal Air Force. It's the Rochester Area Foundation, here locally anyway. And with the main mission of...
Well, we said we build better communities, and we do that by supporting the nonprofits in the community. So mm-hmm. we raise funds and make grants, but we also support the nonprofits organizations in lots of other ways with various kinds of board of directors training kinds of things, in-service training. We offer space for some fledgling organizations that are just getting started. Paul offers his services as an expert in planned giving to assist their development officers with understanding how to be more effective with planned giving. And so our mission is to build better communities, and that's what we're out here for.
Here we are, and you got a website as well.
We do, and today we want to talk about something that people have heard quite a bit about, but there might be an implication they don't know about, and that's these corporate inversions where companies or corporations that are homegrown in the United States are merging with or purchasing corporations from other countries mm-hmm. where the tax liabilities are lesser for the tax benefits they can realize by moving their headquarters offshore. And there are some stock implications with on that, and folks could end up owing taxes on stocks that get cashed out as a part of that process. So I'm just about at the end of my expertise. I'm just a recovering old cop, and I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Paul Harkus that can explain exactly how this works.
Okay. Yeah, Paul, first of all, a lot of corporations that are doing this for their own tax benefit.
Yes,
to get out of paying U.S. corporate taxes.
That's the principal driving force behind it.
And there is a move to maybe make that more difficult in the future.
Yes, there is. But for the moment, it's perfectly legal for a U.S. corporation to merge with a corporation in a foreign country mm-hmm. with reduced corporate tax rates and have some real advantage for their company. There may be advantages to stockholders in increased profits in the future if that does, in fact, reduce their tax payments and give better gains for the company. But there is a hooker in there for stockholders also.
All right. Well, explain what that hooker is and how it might not benefit the stockholder.
Right. The problem is that for stockholders, the IRS treats the transaction as a sale of their stock when the transaction goes through.
Mm-hmm.
And thus triggers the capital gain on the stock that they're holding. Now, the corporation, the foreign corporation, will create new stock, but the IRS treats this as a sale of the stock and a purchase of the new stock, and therefore it triggers the capital gain on their income tax return. So the stockholder has a tax obligation that's coming up, but they receive no cash in the transaction that would help them to pay those taxes.
Okay, so they get... Yeah, it's not like they get the money in hand.
Right. There is no cash that
but yet they'll have to pay these U.S. taxes.
But they'd have the obligation to pay the tax on the capital gain they've had.
Okay.
And if they've held the stock for some time, those can be pretty high gains.
Yeah.
And that's why I was going to add here real quickly that most people listening might think, well, somebody owns a lot of Medtronic stock. I don't have to worry about that. I don't own a lot of stock. I'm just a middle-class person. It may be been a gift from Grandpa and Grandma. If you've been sitting on some quantity of Medtronic stock since 1985 and it has a very low cost basis and it's going to sell in this transaction for 4 or 5 times more than it was purchased for, and you could suddenly find yourself in a situation. So this isn't just for the people that are very experienced in dealing in the stock market. There are a lot of people out there that own stock in one fashion or another. Through gifts and what have you. And this is an important time to be talking to your wealth advisor, your money manager, and seeking some counsel with that if you own a quantity of it. Paul will tell you another option that can help you manage that tax implication.
All right. Which probably brings us to the Rochester Area Foundation.
Well, it can.
It can. All right.
Those who are charitably minded and want to help nonprofit organizations with their work in the community have often had the opportunity to give stock instead of cash to charity.
Mm-hmm.
And they get a double benefit, or actually a triple benefit, by using stock instead of cash. When you write your check to your local charity, you get a tax deduction for the amount of your check. But if you give the similar amount of stock, you not only get the deduction for the full fair market value of the stock, there is also an avoidance of the capital gain that you had in that stock because you're giving it to charity. You're mm-hmm. not selling it and getting the value back. A third gain that is not often emphasized is that you can then go out and repurchase the same stock, which gives you a higher basis
higher
for your capital gain in the yeah. future when you sell the stock in the future.
Hmm.
So in the case of these corporate inversions where you're going to be forced to recognize that capital gain, this is a good time to think about giving that stock to charity instead of writing the check that you might otherwise want to give to charity.
So this has kind of gone a little bit above my head okay. here. I have a 401k, but I mm-hmm. don't think I'm directly involved with any company
like that.
You wouldn't
be because 401ks are tax exempt
right.
while you're holding it there.
Well,
so if there's
at
some
the
stock.
Moment. But so if I had stock in, say, Medtronic, for example, or another company, that corporation that was involved
and
in
the corporate. And there are several of them.
Yeah.
Walgreens and Burger King have talked about it and mm-hmm. several others.
So I can donate the stock, and then I can also repurchase.
If you really like the stock, then you can repurchase
more stock.
More of the same stock.
Obviously not the same.
But you're also bringing
the same company.
Your cost basis up to the current price.
Uh-huh.
So when you sell it in the future, your capital gain will be less also.
Oh, I see. Okay, okay.
So why does this matter?
Yeah.
If you are going to be giving money away anyway as a part of your normal annual giving pattern, it was going to come out of your operating cash or your normal revenues,
mm-hmm.
You wouldn't have to do it that way. You could use this stock instead. Or if you were going to pre-fund a fund that would become effective as of your death, and you wanted to set up a family fund, and you didn't have the wherewithal to do it right now, you didn't have the windfall to put $40,000-$50,000 in an account to create a family fund at the local community foundation, you could fund it this way. Sometimes people will set that up on their death. They'll designate a portion of their estate or a portion of their life insurance to create a family fund for their children to utilize going forward to do their philanthropy through that fund
mm-hmm.
and thereby earn the yield, the interest that we make on it can help increase that fund without a tax obligation going forward. So some people, a fair number of people through the foundation, structure all of their giving to all of the different charities they support through a fund that they have with us because we can grow their money more effectively than they can on their own. You could pre-fund something with us by a donation of stock for something that you were planning on doing eventually anyway.
So
making sense,
even,
Paul? Or it was too convoluted with that?
No, I think that sounds just right. And even if you're not sure which charities you want to support, that's where the Rochester Area Foundation comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can give it to us as a 501c3 charity ourselves and have the funds stay with us for a while you figure out where you want it to go. But again, in this situation where you might be forced to recognize the gain on this stock, you'll get a deduction this year, and then you can decide in the future when you want to make those charitable gifts.
And the deductions just keep on coming.
So to keep this conversation in the realm of education and not making an advertisement,
mm-hmm.
allow me to say that this applies to any other charity that you're heavily involved with also. If they have a planned giving officer or a development officer, and you're holding one of these stocks that is subject to inversion and capital gains, go visit with them or go visit with your wealth advisor so that you know what you're doing. We're talking about the foundation as just being one option and a flexible one at that.
Right.
But if you are very deeply committed to one of the other human services charitable organizations in the community and want to have that direct relationship, by all means, do that. Because we're about that, too.
Yeah.
The most important point of this message today is to know about this. If you're very active in the stock market and you read the Wall Street Journal regularly, you know all about it. But if you're not very active, you just have some stock you've accumulated over time and you don't look at it that often.
It's been a gift that's just been sitting in your drawer. Right. You've got a little sheet of paper in your file and that's all you've...
This could be a surprise.
You get something in the mail that you say, why are they wasting their money sending me a whole booklet on one... deal, and then you throw it away.
Sounds like the voice of experience speaking.
Yeah, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. Think I'm going to read this prospectus?
Yeah. My vote going to make a difference? Who's leading the company?
So that's what this is all about today, just to get the word out there and that there are options. There are options that can accrue well to somebody's situation.
Sure.
And there's one important caveat, and that is that the stock must be transferred to the charity before the transaction is complete. So you need to look at that fine print that says this transaction will take place on such and such a date, and be sure that you give that stock to your favorite charity before that date. Be sure that you
before the date
the game.
That the inversion takes place. And that will be a notice that will be sent to you.
Yes, you will get a notice from the company if you hold the stock in your name. But
right.
Again, if it's in a brokerage account or something, you may not get that notice directly.
So it's a good idea to pay attention whether you have getting your stocks through. If you're on your own, you're probably pretty much in tune with what you're doing. But yeah, if it's coming through your broker or whatever. Right. You may not be aware of all the stock that he's got your money into.
Can I squeeze another couple minutes out of you?
Certainly.
What else is going on at the foundation right now?
That's a good question.
Funny you should ask. It is our 70th anniversary. We were formed in 1944 by none other than Harry Harwick of Mayo Clinic fame, and we are celebrating 70 years right now on October 8th.
Wow.
October 8th. We are holding our Celebration of Philanthropy 2014. Now, if you have an interest in how we invest our money, how we make money off your money so you can give more money away, come and see us in the afternoon at 3 o'clock. First, call the foundation or go on the website, 282-0203, 282-0203. Talk to Max, and he can tell you about the afternoon session at the DoubleTree by Hilton about from 3 to 5, where we will have fund managers from AllianceBernstein, High Vista, and GMO. And GMO is not some way of growing food. It has to do with investing.
All right.
They're going to come and tell us how they invest and why they are good for us. And then from 5 to about 7:30, we will have hors d'oeuvres, some beverage, and the opportunity to hear about what we do, some of the grants we've made, how we go about making those grants. So
that's a week from today.
If you're interested in your local foundation and the good works we're doing, give us a call. Come on out. We'd love to have you.
All right. We've got some headphones there. I think we have a caller with a question. Let's go to the call and see what's on his mind or her mind. Hello there. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Yeah, you got a question for a guest.
Thank you for bringing the guest on. It's interesting to hear their point of view. I'd like to have them comment on one thing related to the inversions.
Mm-hmm.
It seems amazing to me that the people who write and control the tax code seem absolutely surprised as what's in there.
Well, the legislation is like watching sausage being made. Yeah, sometimes you like to eat it, but you sure don't want to watch it get made. But yes, I think you're accurate. Paul, do you have a comment on that?
Well, and sometimes they take a long time in doing it, and yes, details get in that they aren't really aware of until these kinds of things happen, and then the awareness certainly spreads. And we want to be sure that stockholders know that these are the conditions that are happening.
Well, and I appreciate that comment because a lot of people watch these things occur, and they just say, well, Dave, I don't know, it doesn't seem to – how could that possibly affect me? And thank you for bringing up a couple of instances where, in fact, it can.
All right. Hey, thanks for listening.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. Thanks for the call. So, these are sometimes little things that you might see, whether it's in the Wall Street Journal or here on the news at the top of the hour, that, corporations are being are moving their home office overseas, merging with another company.
And it's particularly interesting here because a local company, Medtronic, is one of the companies that is doing this.
Yeah.
And so, we may not even be aware of it had it not happened in our own backyard with Medtronic. And the caller's point is so well made. The only thing I would add, however, is that sometimes the people making the laws do understand what all the implications are, but they are lost so deep And these folks do this stuff every day. And so while they're well aware that this could have a trigger a tax implication, the average person that may own some of that stock and doesn't pay close attention has no way of knowing, because it's rare that a bulletin, a memo to the entire nation is put out on these kinds of things. You have to go looking for this kind of news. So,
all right. So we're not here to necessarily judge whether the corporation is doing the right thing or the wrong thing. It's just the fact that it's being done, and this is something that you need to be aware of, and how it affects your stock.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
And for charitably minded people, there is good thing that you can get out of it.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. So when is the Medtronic inversion?
They have not announced their date yet. They expect it to be before the end of this year, so
this
is a good time to act.
There is a good article, for those that are interested in reading, there's a good article in the Wall Street Journal, and let me see if I can scoot back. I think it was August 1, 2014. If you Google tax implications of corporate inversions, one of the first listings that will come up is from the Wall Street Journal, this article from August 1st. And it is a good background on the entire topic, and explains it very well. Some of the changes and some subsequent postings you can find on Google will explain some of the actions that have been taken by the administration in the last week that may slow down some of these inversions, but it probably is not going to impact Medtronic or Burger King to any great degree.
All right.
And the headline of the article puts it succinctly: an inversion deal could raise your taxes, and you do want to be concerned about that.
That's exactly right, which is a big issue with all of us. So. Yeah.